Just want to say welcome. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard today. And this is like we're starting with family pictures. I wanted to start off, and oftentimes you hear, if you watch preachers on TV or you attend church, sometimes pastors begin with a story or a joke that doesn't have anything at all to do with their sermon at all. That's not what I'm doing today. I actually have an intro story that really sets up where we're headed today as I'm going to talk about keeping holy the Sabbath day. So here is my kiddos, not to be outdone by everybody else's kids. So Faith is our oldest, Evelyn and Elizabeth. I have Evelyn's picture up there by herself because this story is about her. Faith is about to turn 5. And because of that, she no longer takes a nap. Elizabeth needs one very long nap in the afternoon. She also does her best, functions her best when she takes a nap in the morning as well. Evelyn just turned 3, and so because of that, she still needs a nap, but she fights the nap more often than not. I have our office right now is in the basement for our church. That's where I write my sermons, primarily that. I go to the library sometimes as well. And so 2 weeks ago, I'm working on this sermon about the Sabbath day, about the need for rest. It's about 2:00 in the afternoon, which is when Evelyn ought to be like out cold. And her room, actually she shares a room with Faith, is right above mine. I hear this bang in the ceiling, so I'm like, Evelyn, what's going on? Like maybe she knocked something off of her off of her bed as she was like rolling over. I need to go check this out. So I go upstairs and I go into the room, and she is not in her bed. She's in Faith's bed, and she's having a party. Here's what she had lined up. I'm going to try to make this work. This is her bunny. She had her bunny kind of lined up on Faith's bed. She had Faith's bunny lined up on her bed. This is her Gigi toy, which is her comfort toy. She had this kind of lined up right there. She has like 4 of them. She had 2 GGs, because if you lose one, you're dead, so we have multiple ones. And then she had this player piano, and she was just like having a party. And so I told her, I'm like, Evelyn, it's nap time. It's rest time. You are 3. You need rest. You need a nap. And Evelyn usually is a pretty good napper. She has been historically, but as I said, she's getting older. She's starting to fight the nap more and more. So she, we know mom and dad know best, right? We know when she does not get her nap, she becomes a bear. A very cute bear, but she becomes a bear, right? Because her body needs a nap. Her 3-year-old body needs a nap. And because why? Because God created 3-year-old bodies to need naps, right? Not just to sleep at night, but to have something during the day, a time of rest. Most of the time, again, she'll pay attention to mommy and daddy, but when she doesn't, she's a different kid. And so when I saw her that day having her nap and she resisted that, she just said, no, I'm good, Dad, basically. I took the things away, gave her 1 Gigi and her bunny, and the rest of the afternoon I heard her kind of having a party up there, and she was a different kid that day. And I realized, and it just as I was like processing through like that frustration kind of the parents can feel sometimes, right? I felt like God say, that is a sermon illustration. You're preaching on the Sabbath, keeping holy the Sabbath day, the need for rest. Your daughter who's 3 needs rest. And what she is doing and violating what mom and dad have set the rules for, because we know best, God said, that's exactly what you, my children, God speaking, do when you violate the Sabbath. And I'm like, that is very true. We do the same thing that Evelyn did that day when it comes to what God teaches about the Sabbath day. That's what I'm going to be preaching on today. I was born and raised in the Catholic Church, and as a Catholic in catechism, I remember studying and memorizing the 10 commandments. And one of the commandments was keeping holy the Sabbath day. It's in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 10. And here was the law, one of the top 10 laws, rules that God gave. He says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. He says, 6 days you shall labor, do all your work. But on the 7th day, it's a Sabbath to the Lord. On it you shall not do any work, but not just you, not your son, your daughter, your male, your female servants, not your animals, any foreigners residing in your towns. God gave his Hebrew people, his people, the chosen people, 10 commandments, 10 rules. And interesting, as I was processing this nowadays, to say, if God had 10 things, 10 rules he wanted to lay down, I find it intriguing that one of the 10 involved rest. Of all the things that God could have spoken about, could have commanded in his top 10 list, so to speak, one about rest made the cuts. Now, back then, the Jewish day, the Hebrew day, did not start like our days do. Our day starts at 12:01 a.m., right? The Hebrew day started at sundown. And so the Sabbath day for a Jew was Friday at dusk until Saturday at dusk. It was a 24-hour period of time. That was the Sabbath. And it was a big deal to honor his commandment to keep it holy. And one of the primary ways to keep it holy was what the text says, do no work, rest. So in the days of Jesus, who was a Jew, right, keeping the Sabbath day holy was a big deal to him. The religious leaders of the day, known as the Pharisees, it was a big deal to them. The issue is that the Pharisees and Jesus, as we're going to learn in our text today, did not understand in the same way what it meant to honor the Sabbath, what it meant to keep it holy. And that's the background for our text today. We're doing what we do every single week. We're teaching the scriptures. We've been in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter, the first Gospel of the New Testament, teaching through the scriptures one story at a time. And we start off in chapter 1, verse 1. Now we're all the way up to chapter 12. We broke into chapter 12 this week. We're going at a lightning clip. We'll be done in about 3 years, but that's okay. We have time. So here's the text today. Let me read through it, and then we're going to use this as a launching pad today. In Matthew chapter 12, starting verse 1. With everything I said in the background about the Sabbath, it says, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath day. Now, so it could be in the evening on Friday, it could be Saturday morning, could be at lunchtime. What we know is that it was at a time where they normally eat. His disciples were hungry. They began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, the leaders of the faith back then, it says, they said to Jesus, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered, he said, haven't you read what David, King David, did when he and his companions were hungry? They entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. But they did it, Jesus says. He says, haven't you read the law that the priests on the Sabbath duty in the temple, they desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent because they have work to do? So I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. Then he says something. He says, if you had known what these words mean, as our mercy not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. This is going on from that place. Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand, he was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Jesus said to them, if you have a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. He said to the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as his other hand. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. One thing right off the bat that I love about this text, it's like Jesus, he wanted to pick a fight. Like, he could have waited a day, a few hours. We don't know when these events happened in the synagogue. But Jesus knew this guy was there with the hand, all shriveled up. Jesus kind of sets the stage to teach them the heart of the Sabbath, of why God gave the Sabbath in the first place, and how they distorted it in such an amazing way that they're saying, it's not even lawful to heal. Instead of celebrating, oh my goodness, look at what God did, look at this miracle, they say, okay, he healed on the Sabbath, this man needs to die. That was their reaction. So that's our text for today, and I'm going to use it as a place to take off from, because it's all about the Sabbath day and what you should or maybe what you should not do on it. As I'm going through the gospel account, story by story, I knew when I was coming up to this text, when I'm reading it in my Bible, I don't know if you do the same, but it's very maybe convenient or easy just to kind of skip right over this story, because it's about the Sabbath day, it's about Jews back then. It's not about us as Christians now, so let's just skip to something that applies to our lives. That's typically what we can do. See, we tend to think, because we're no longer under the law of the Sabbath like the Jews were, that a text like this, the Sabbath day in general, doesn't apply to us at all. We tend to think that it doesn't apply in any way, and here's two reasons why we might want to skip over this text. We're not going to, but why it would be tempting to skip over it. First, what we do, at least what I do, is we'll read this text and we'll see that the error of the Pharisees is so unbelievably obvious, right? You read this text, even if you haven't gone to church in 20 years, you read this text and you say, these guys, I don't even know what the Sabbath is really, but they have distorted this teaching so much that they want to kill Jesus for doing good, for healing a man? Really? And then they get mad at Jesus for having his followers, his apostles, want to pick some food, pick some grain as they're walking through a field. So the first reason that we can easily miss the point of this text is the error is so obvious. I mean, why spend any time even thinking about it or talking about it? It'd be like me, say, I'm going to preach a sermon about 10 reasons why if you jump out of an airplane, you should wear a parachute. Here's 10 reasons. You know, rule one, you know why? It's a waste of time. It's common sense. What the Pharisees did that day was an abomination to God. And so we can just kind of skip over that text. Think, you know, it's a waste of time to talk about it. That's one reason. The second reason, and I alluded to this already, that we may skip over this text, is that, again, as a Christian, we know the law of the Sabbath no longer applies to us. When God gave the Ten Commandments, back then it was a big deal. If you did not keep it holy, if you violated it, in fact, you could be killed for doing so. But again, that was then, and now this is now. That was for the Jews living under the old covenant. We're under the new covenant, the new era, after the cross. So keeping holy the Sabbath day no longer applies to us in the same way. And because we think it no longer applies in the same way, it's no longer a law, we think it doesn't apply to us in any way. So as I began to study this passage and knew I was going to preach on it, those were the arguments that I was feeling you guys were going to have in your mind as I'm talking about this, what I'd be up against and wanting to teach it. But as I was processing this and praying this through and saying, well, all those things are true to a certain degree, here's something else that I know personally, interacting with you guys in the church and just in America in general. This is what I know. And you guys know it too. We are unbelievably busy in our culture. Jobs and families and newborns and kids in general and yard work and houses to clean. We live overloaded lives. And what we tend to do, it's like a badge. We brag about how busy we are. If you're up late and you're a friend on Facebook, you post, going to bed, 3 a.m., woo, you know, right? I'm an early bird. I'll post that email at 5 in the morning. Look at me. Got up at 5. See, the more busy we are, the more we celebrate. And because of how busy we are, and I believe precisely because of how busy we are, we need rest more than ever. We need the Sabbath more than ever. Not because it's a law for us. Not because if we violate it, we're going to get stoned to death or murdered in some way. But because it is an invitation from God. It is how God wired us, just like he wired toddlers, needing them to take a nap. God wired us to work and to rest. We need the Sabbath. The Sabbath, in fact, was built into creation itself. In Exodus 20, verse 11, it says, for in 6 days, if you can go to the next slide, Jack, for in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested. God rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he made it holy. Built in the fabric of creation itself is a rhythm, a pattern of work and rest. Now, God, by the way, didn't rest because he was wiped out and tired, right? He rested that day to set a pattern for us to follow. Built in the fabric of creation itself is the Sabbath, and we need to be invited. I believe we're going to be invited into it today, and we need to honor that invitation, accept it. But because we're so busy, if I talk about, hey, take a Sabbath day, take a day off, you think I'm crazy. You think, you know, me taking a day off, Dan, has about as much a chance as the Red Wings winning the Stanley Cup this year, which, by the way, unfortunately, is a 0% chance because they got knocked out. So before you tune me out, let me give you my key idea for today, and this is what I'm going to unpack. The key idea in your program, you can take notes in the blank section on the left side. Key idea, I'd love for you to write this down. The Sabbath is both an attitude and a day. The Sabbath is both an attitude and a day. And I want to explain the passion, and I have a passion for this passage today, for this topic, because of something that I experienced when I was going to seminary out in California. So I want to share a little bit in framing with this to illustrate and share why does this passage matter to me? Why ought it matter to you guys in the concept of a Sabbath? Back in 1998, I was feeling a call. I had crossed the line of faith in 1998 in a whole new way. Born and raised in the Catholic Church, but my faith really came alive in 1998. And I felt this calling from God right off the bat to become a pastor. And it was a very strange thought to me. It didn't make sense for three reasons. Number one, I was engaged to be married at the time. A few months into 1999, I was going to be married. And my fiance at the time was not exactly on board at all, like 0% on board with the idea of, and I actually thought, hey, what do you think about me maybe like quitting my job as an engineer, going to seminary and becoming a pastor? Like, you know, what do you think? She's like, no way. So that was the end of that conversation. But that, we actually had that conversation. So that was one reason why that calling didn't make sense. The other part was I liked stuff and things, and so I'm an engineer working for GM and making really good money, and that was just what I was doing. That's why I went to Oakland University, and I was a few years into that job. And so the third reason was that I was very young in my faith. You know, going to seminary as a newer person in my faith didn't really make sense. But I prayed and prayed and prayed because sometimes, and oftentimes actually, God calls us to do things that don't make sense. That's what God does, if you have ears to hear. And so I knew after a lot of praying that God called me to break off my engagement, and I did. Quit my job, and I did. Rent a U-Haul, and I did. Hop in it and drive to California to go to seminary, all in 1999. It's a crazy year. And so I go to seminary, start like a clean break from my past, into my present, into my future, and I did really well. I love the new era of my life. It's like, God is so big, and he's so great. And my first year of school was awesome, and I got really good grades. But in many ways, that first year of school set the stage for a very, very dark period of my life. See, when I went to seminary, I was like Jake and Elwood Blues. We're on a mission from God, they said, right? Blues Brothers? And I said, I'm on a mission from God. I mean, I broke off an engagement. I quit my job. I left everything behind, my friends, my family, everything. Move out to California, go to seminary. I'm going to get the most out of this education that I can. And I'm going to honor God as much as I can by doing that. And so in doing that and thinking that way, I did not allow myself to have any fun, to relax really at all, to take any time off. I thought I was honoring God in the process. And I had a scripture that proved my point. Ephesians 5, starting verse 15, says, be very careful in how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. I took that scripture, quoted it, and I took it very literally. Make the most of every moment, every opportunity. So I had to intern at a church as part of it was like a student teaching kind of thing. Working there, taking classes, studying, probably 80, maybe 100 hours a week some weeks during midterms and finals and stuff like that. Again, wanting to get the most out of my education. Totally unbalanced in the process. In fact, and this is true, this is not like pastor kind of exaggeration to make a point, this actually was true. I believe I went to the beach twice in my first year in seminary. Living in SoCal, Southern California, and went to the beach twice in a year. Exodus 20:10 says, the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work. I did not take that command seriously. I ignored it. Not exaggerating, but most Friday nights and Saturday nights, all weekend long, I would study. Make the most of every opportunity. Sprint a marathon and honor God in the process, right? And you can sprint a marathon for about, I don't know, maybe half a mile or so or a mile. But then I crashed and burned very hard. And just some evidence of that, just two quick things. Number one, the joy of the Lord is supposed to be our strength, and I had none. I started to become more and more angry about everything. I remember one time, very vividly, I decided to take a Saturday off, rarely take a Saturday off, went to a party with some Christian friends at this college campus, APU, Azusa Pacific, and these were some Christians who did not know how to have fun at all. They're like, let's get together and just kind of hang out and not do anything, you know? And I just, it didn't compute with me. And so that was my night where I wanted to unplug and rest and recharge. And these guys, like, seemed to be, like, afraid to, like, have fun or do anything. You know, I'm not talking go crazy, you know, like steal a car. I'm just saying have fun. And they weren't doing anything. And so I'm driving down the 10 freeway. And I remember, got the windows down, stereo crank, driving home on Saturday night, and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs to God and using language that did not honor God and just, I mean, angry. And that was my life. Second, I started to have what I called sobbing attacks. In other words, for 30 seconds or so, every once in a while, maybe every, you know, 5-6 times a week, I would break down in a hyperventilating slob for no reason. It's not healthy. But I'd be studying, driving, going to the mall, and just break down and start to sob, convulsing sob for 30 seconds, and then the wave would leave, and I'd be like, what was that? I don't know. And I'd go back to studying or whatever. Probably having a nervous breakdown, probably, but I did not have insurance to go to the doctor to get diagnosed. Honestly. I was in an unbelievably dark place. When I went to seminary, I was like, God, you are so big. God, you are so great. And I stopped having any passion for God, any passion to be a pastor at all. And by the way, I'm going to seminary to be a pastor. So after several months of doing this on my own, I went to one of my professors and my Old Testament prof. I talked to a few of them. They knew, they saw something was going on. And they talked to me about the concept of a Sabbath and said, like, what are you doing to have fun? What are you doing to relax? The Sabbath is both an attitude and a day. What are you doing about it? So they challenged me. They challenged me two ways. First of all, have an attitude of a Sabbath. In other words, that it's okay to have fun. God has fun, joy, laughter. Jesus was probably one of the happiest, if not the happiest person who ever walked the earth. He's not this solemn, thus saith the Lord, you know. His first miracle, making wine at a wedding. Right? So he said, you need to relax and enjoy life. The Sabbath is an attitude. Every day, stop, pause, in the moment, rest. But they also challenged me to take a Sabbath day. Pick a day that made sense in my schedule and take it off from school, off from working at the church. Take a day, rest, recharge, and enjoy your life. And so I looked at my schedule, and Fridays, I didn't have school. So Fridays became my day off, my Sabbath day, all day Friday. I would wake up, and I would drive to Huntington Beach. I'm an introvert, so I go by myself. I'd have my little cooler, my sandwich, and my water, have my rollerblades, have a book, a novel, non-theological, you know, just to read, my headphones, my CD player. And I would simply rest and recharge, and I did that every week. If a Friday didn't work one week, I'd make it on a Saturday, but I did it every week for the next 2 years straight. And I wasn't slacking, by the way. I was doing what I needed to do so I wouldn't crash and burn. So for those next 2 years, because I now took a day off, I couldn't do as much. I couldn't do as much reading, couldn't do as much studying, couldn't do as much like paper research and such. Had to cut back a little bit on what I could do at the church. My grades slipped a bit, but guess what? I still graduated, and I got a really good grade point average, even after doing all of that, right? Because God honors that. He honors your commitment to Him. Over the next several months, my sobbing attacks stopped. Praise God for that. I started to have fun. My passion for God started to bubble back up again. My passion to be a pastor started to bubble back up again. And I honestly feel if I didn't take that Sabbath day, if I didn't start that, if I ignored their advice because there's simply too much to do, that I would not be here today. I would have flamed out, crashed and burned in an amazingly bad way. Guarantee that. So as I share that story, maybe some of you are in a very dark place right now. a very dark place. You came in with your Christian Jesus, you know, smile. How are things going? Great. Praise the Lord, you know, but you're struggling right now. Others of you may not be in that dark place, but you may be feeling exhausted. You may simply, maybe others of you just feel like you're overloaded. Maybe you have, like when I talk about being more angry than like you should, right? You're like, I'm not going to raise my hand, but I would, you know, if you wouldn't judge me. Maybe you just don't have that much joy in your life. Like the joy of the Lord is your strength. We ought to be the most joy-filled people. I preach on that Easter Sunday, that we ought to just be exploding with joy. Maybe your joy level on a scale of 1 to 10 is like a 1 or a 3. Even though Jesus rose from the dead, you have been cleansed from your sins. Eternity with Jesus in heaven when you die. You have a purpose for your life, and you have no joy. I don't know where you're at in that spectrum, in that continuum, but my encouragement to you is to enter into the Sabbath in two ways. Again, the Sabbath is an attitude and a day. I'm going to say briefly something about the Sabbath as an attitude, and then I want to unpack the Sabbath as a day, because that's our hard work. Some of you need to hear, you need to give permission, receive permission to rest, to enjoy life, to recharge, to relax. Do not think that it is a sin to sit on the couch. I love John Ortberg. He's one of my favorite pastors, authors. He has a book called The Life You've Always Wanted, one of my top 10 favorite books. He talks about all the spiritual practices we need to engage in to connect with God, to grow spiritually. There's a lot of doing in that book if you've ever read it. But my favorite quote in the book isn't about doing. It's about what you don't do. He says this. He says, for some of you reading this book, perhaps the single most spiritual thing you could do right now is to put it down and take a nap. And he means it. Because if you're on the treadmill, you're a hamster, and go, 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 go. I have to read a book, and I have to, you know, put all these things into practice now, and there's 12 action steps. He's like, put the book down and take a nap. From God's mouth, you know, through mine to yours. And I love that quote. Some of you need to take that advice to enter into the attitude of a Sabbath. But as I was working on my sermon, I said, you know, that's the easy application. I mean, it's not easy for some of us who are type A, but it's easier than saying Sabbath day, 24-hour period of time, carve out. And that's why I want to challenge you. So do not tune me out. This is a hard one. But what was really cool, I was in the lobby talking to some folks, and I'm just lingering in the lobby, and oftentimes I don't know like why am I not in here singing right? Why am I there? What do I do? And just asking God to lead me. There was a couple that came in, probably the last couple that arrived today. And they said, hey, we started doing a Sabbath day. It was part of the New Year's resolution. And that's really cool. Just this random conversation you have with people. I want to challenge them to continue it and you to start it, to take a Sabbath day. So here's some steps. I'm going to do 5 steps and I encourage you to take these notes. How to take a Sabbath day each week. Here is step 1. Get all of your excuses out on the table. In other words, as soon as you hear me talk about it, maybe you got the email inviting you to the service talking about keeping holy the Sabbath day, and your mind kicked into overdrive at that moment. You began thinking of a dozen reasons why this simply is impossible for you and your schedule because of your circumstances. So step 1, and I encourage you to do this, get all of the excuses out on the table, all the reasons why this does not apply to you. And I encourage you, get a sheet of paper, maybe it's in your program, and write them down and be detailed and take your time doing it. And then I encourage you to hold on to this list, put it in your Bible, put it on a calendar, and have a date in a month to look at it after you've started engaging the Sabbath day and see what God did with all these I can'ts. Because God's in the I can business, because he can. Look at it in a month and see how God multiplied your time, how you're able to get more done in 6 days than you were when you had 7. And by the way, if you're in school and your grades slip a bit, I think that still honors God. A 4.0 is not the only thing that honors God. Rest and honoring his commands honors God. So if you're a perfectionist, you're like, can't do it, because, you know, the best thing that ever happened to me in seminary is when I got my first B+. It really was. Gave myself permission to not get straight A's. It was awesome. So the first thing is get all your excuses on the table. Second is pick a day. to pick a day, look at your calendar, pick a Sabbath day that makes sense for your schedule. Probably a Saturday or a Sunday. If you work like I do on Sundays, it's Monday. That's our Sabbath day for Kelly, me, and the kids. It could also be a 24-hour period of time, say from 12 noon one day to 12 noon the other day, just because of the way your schedule goes, or maybe 6 p.m. one day to 6 p.m. the following day, but pick a 24-hour period of time. By the way, in picking a day and processing this, the Sabbath is not something you can start slow and kind of take baby steps into because you'll violate it all over the place. You have to draw a line, a hard line in the sand, and say, this is going to be my Sabbath day. Circle on your calendar next week. Pick a day in the next week, circle it, and try it maybe for a month. Don't try it once. Try it for a month and see again what happens. Take your list of reasons why it's impossible and see what God did with that list. Maybe he rearranged things you think you just have to do and said, yeah, you don't have to do that. You don't. Maybe you do that a little bit differently, but see how he honors the list. Step three, observe the Sabbath day's golden rule. Either cease from what is necessary, embrace that which gives life. I have that wording is actually from Mark Buchanan, the Sabbath golden rule. This is your pastor's pick for this week, the rest of God, restoring your soul by restoring Sabbath. Phenomenal read. Phenomenal read. And he had that in his book. He says, we need to obey the Sabbath's golden rule. In other words, do not do anything that drains you, anything that is work for you. In your Digging Deeper questions, which we give you every single week, question six says this. It says, how would you fill up your calendar if you had a free day, 24 hours were the only rules, where you had to experience joy, have fun, and recharge? Now, that is a fun question to think about. It's kind of like the question people play like, hey, if you won the lotto, how would you spend the money? But the difference is we can do this one. This is in our grasp to take a Sabbath day, a free day, work it into our schedule and say, if that was the rule, dream big, what would you do? How would you fill up that time? Matthew 12:13, going back to our text today, Jesus said to the man on the Sabbath day, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. Why did Jesus choose to do this on the Sabbath day? Because it was enjoyable to him. Because it gave life to him. Because it honored God. That's why Jesus did that on the Sabbath. So some commandments for your Sabbath day. Thou shalt take a nap, if that fills you up. Thou shalt not make your wife cook. Men? Kelly's like, so Sabbath day I'm supposed to cook a meal? No. Go out to dinner. Have someone else cook for you. Thou shalt go to church, be filled up spiritually. Thou shalt work, but only on your hobby. Thou shalt go to Home Depot if you love Home Depot. I hate Home Depot. I'm doing a house project. My faucet's leaking, or, you know, bathroom and like the tub, and I'm like up and down the aisles yesterday, and it was not a holy moment for me. I'm like, I bought something, it didn't work, and it's leaking like worse than it was, you know. So going to Home Depot for me, no, not on the Sabbath day. I like don't want to go there at all. But others of you, man, you're like, I go to Home Depot on my date nights, which we kind of do sometimes too, but I just love Home Depot, awesome place, Lowe's, whatever. If it fills you up and recharge you, do it. Thou shalt spend extra time playing with your kids. Spend time seeing your mom and your dad with your uncles and aunts. Volunteer your time in a way that fills you up. Sometimes people serving in Detroit, serving the poor, serving on a Sunday here at church, say, this is the best time of my week. I love serving. I love volunteering, pouring into kids who are underprivileged. I get life out of that. Then do it on your Sabbath. Advance the kingdom of God. Enjoy a cup of coffee with a friend. Watch the sun set. How would you fill your calendar if you had a free day, 24 hours, where the only rule was that you had to experience joy and have fun and recharge? Answer that question and go for it. Step four. Step four is expect testing and temptation. When you draw a line in the sand to keep a Sabbath day, expect to be tested and tempted, expect your schedule to blow up. It's like when Kelly and I are going through Dave Ramsey's FPU, the Financial Peace University, and we want to develop a budget and, you know, get out of debt and, you know, do cash envelopes and all that. Dave Ramsey says, and he is completely true, he says, you go to my seminar, you're learning about this, you watch this on DVD saying, all right, we are going to be on our finances. We're going to get out of debt. You will go out in the parking lot after you made that conviction, you drew a line of sand, and you will have a flat tire that cost you $100. And then you will go home and your fridge and freezer will fail and it'll cost you $1,000. You can see those as tests from God. You can see them as temptations from the devil to knock you off. However you see it, fight through them. When you draw on the line in the sand to keep the Sabbath day, expect your schedule to blow up and press through it. Step five, super important. Avoid legalism. So this is why people read a passage about the Sabbath and they want to run far away from it. In Matthew 12, verses 1 and 2, right, we saw this passage. The Pharisees unload on Jesus because his disciples want to eat, want to pick some grain. That's work. We need to kill you for that. How dare you eat on the Sabbath day and pick grain in the field, they said. Avoid legalism. In other words, if you run out of milk on your Sabbath day and you have a toddler that drinks milk, don't say, okay, Junior, today we're going to teach you about the spiritual practice of fasting because I want to honor the Lord, right? If you have diapers to change, Greg, change them. Sorry, Priya. It's a Sabbath day. I have to keep it holy. Jess, you can violate the Sabbath. No, right? Avoid legalism. Avoid legalism. Keep the Sabbath day. Don't be legalistic about it. Going back to Evelyn. See, mommy and daddy know best. We know that her 3-year-old body needs a nap. That was how God created her body, the need to sleep during the day, not just at night. When she honors mommy and daddy and our commandment, she's a better kid. Her body just functions better. She has a better attitude, more joy. When she violates that law, no, Dad, I'm good. Instead, I'm going to have a bunny and Gigi and piano party. She's just not the same kid. And that day that I saw her having that party during nap time, how she was rejecting what mommy and daddy know best, right? Father knows best, mommy knows best. That we, as adults, as Christians in America, do the exact same thing to God when it comes to the Sabbath. Now, we may not be 3-year-olds, we may not need a nap, but our bodies were designed to need a Sabbath. It's a rhythm. Work 6 days, rest on the seventh. Week in, week out. Not once in a while, not take a vacation, but do it week in and week out. Work 6, rest 1. The Sabbath day is not a law for us, it is a gift. It is a gift from our Father above who gives good gifts to his children. May we embrace that gift. May we unwrap that gift. May we open that gift, and may our lives never be the same. I encourage you, and I say this every single Sunday, and I mean it so much today, do not just be a hearer of this word. Be a doer of this word. Don't say, man, great idea for the Sabbath, and then go on about your week and come back. And I wonder what he has to preach on in a week. Engage in the Sabbath, not because you have to, but because God invites you to. It's a gift. Let's embrace that gift together as a church. And let's pray. Jesus, I pray for that to be a reality. I do pray that we are not hearers of this word only, we do it. That we follow your still small voice, that nudge, and that we engage in the Sabbath day. We honor the Sabbath day, whatever it looks like for us. That we would be a people that are filled up with your joy and your presence as a result like never before. Guide us, Jesus. May, Holy Spirit, you bring this message, these words, your truth to their minds throughout the week on Monday and Wednesday and Thursday, God, that they would practice this, they would enter into it, and that you would honor them and multiply their time and show you, God, that this is how you intended us to live. May we get off the hamster wheel of the American culture and live in a different way. That's what it means to be a Christian anyway, to follow you, Christ, and not to live according to the way our society demands. Do that in us today and this week and this month as we test drive the Sabbath day. Thanks, Jesus. Amen.